We got through the four horsemen, right?
Yes.
And now we're in verse 9 of chapter 6. And the first four seals were the four horsemen, right? Now we're opening the fifth seal. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?
Sorry, what verse are we in? 10.
10 right now. 6:10.
Okay.
Now, in the fifth seal, we don't see the action, we see the results of the action. If you understand that God is opening through the Lamb, he's opening the seals, but it was too something. I don't know the word. It was too something that they were, that these saints were, how precious in the Lord, in the eyes of the Lord, is the death of a saint. So, but it's like, I can't explain what it is. It would be impudent to show the action in this fifth seal. I mean, it would be almost counter, it would blow everybody's mind too much, is what I'm saying. To understand that the Lamb opened the seal, and then you look and you saw the saints being slain, that would just give everybody a headache.
Sure would.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
They skip over the bits about there's evil in the city and God has done it anyway.
Right. So here that would give everybody a really bad theological headache. So what we see is we don't see the action, we see the results of the action. And it's really kind of important that you understand that, because otherwise you will retain your Pollyanna view of Christianity. It's been so much of Christianity has been sanitized, but let's keep
it's
your
like let every soul be subject to the higher power, even if the power is running a sword through your chest.
Even if it's chopping your head off. Even if it's, because there's no power but of God. Now, this one's almost impossible to understand. This one, the human mind cannot conceive of.
That's because you have to give up the right to yourself.
It gets too close to saying that God encompasses good and evil.
Well, so let's go to Isaiah 45.
It's really about submission, and that's always
Pollyanna.
Difficult.
Everything's
wonderful. Everything.
It's a
Pollyanna was a very innocent character. She was a pretty too. She's
all wonderful.
Dimple, everybody loves me, girl.
It's one of those sickeningly sweet, sickened. I can't even talk tonight. I heard too bad. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, his right hand. To Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. Now, Cyrus was who? Cyrus was a Gentile king that God used as, well, he used essentially to rebuild the temple and to bring bring Israel back.
Why did he need a Gentile king to do that?
Well, he's the type of Christ.
Well, let's not get into that. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. I'm not talking about finding gold or something. I mean, you understand that?
Yeah.
I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, although thou hast not known me. That thou may knowest from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
There's another one.
Keeping track of the,
of the real.
What do you mean you're keeping track of?
The I create evil things.
So what are you, like, using them as weapons or something?
No, they're like debunkers.
Okay, go to Amos. Chapter 3. We're going to find out in a minute. We're going to study. I couldn't sleep last night.
Because of the pain?
Yeah. Anyway, I started, like, remembering all the ludicrous things that I've heard televangelists say. I mean, it was like it was a real.
That's almost the equivalent of mind talk.
Yeah. I wish you'd cast down other people's imagination once in a while.
That's amazing.
Well, never mind. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you. That's a prophet. Always speaks judgment. You understand that? I mean, you may not like that. You may not. You may try to circumvent it and find half scriptures and.
Well, by definition, those other guys can't be prophets.
Plus the fact, a prophet never calls himself a prophet. That's just ludicrous. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no gin for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Okay? I'll go to Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Or authority. There is no authority but of God. The authority that be are ordained of God. Who therefore resisteth the authority resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. This doesn't make any sense unless you understand that in their mind, to do evil was to be self for self. Otherwise, I mean, my God, you can rationalize this thought all, you know, all over the blackboard. Well, that didn't mean that. It wouldn't mean in this condition. But if you understand that the ruler or the authority is not a terror to anything except self for self. Okay.
So that's your position?
Huh?
That would be your position.
What?
That's the ruler.
No, it's any authority in the world. I mean,
this doesn't talk about spiritual authority? Well, that's what I was thinking.
No, it talks about all authority that exists in the world, whether it's Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or Bill Clinton or George Bush or, I mean, Dallas Police Force. But anyway, is he laughing? All right. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. And what is the good? That's obviously a totally stupid statement if you make the judgments based on what you can see. He's a minister of God to thee for good, meaning God causes all things to happen that you might be conformed to the image of Christ. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. What does that mean?
Unless you're subject, you can't have any peace. Well, you don't subject yourself just to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, not out of fear.
You do it because it's the right thing to do.
You subject yourself because Rabbi Rick said it right. That's the only way to remain in peace.
Got one?
Yeah, I'm just kind of shooting out there.
We're talking about this for the rest of the year.
My head taken away.
Yeah, thanks, Crystal.
You're a prophet, you say it. It's like
for this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom a tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Implicit in that is you can dismiss that by saying, well, I'm not going to render tribute to them because they're not worthy. That's not what it says.
Tribute, are they talking money or politeness or?
No, in this case, they're specifically talking taxes. Okay.
Why would there be fear associated with taxes?
You should live in other countries.
Oh, because if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to have your happy ass in jail?
Didn't you ever see Robin Hood?
Keeper what?
Hebrews 11, starting about verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would not tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. So everybody wants to stop there. It's really heroic.
Yeah.
But the same coin then has as its action, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tested, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now the reason we've studied all those and looked at them is so that we can see the relationship to the fifth seal. Okay?
What? I don't understand, obtain a better resurrection. It's like...
A resurrection, the word there could be used, the idea of being delivered out of the trouble by selling out. And they refused to sell out, and they were received the better resurrection as the resurrection of Christ instead of their own deliverance.
Oh, I see. I was thinking it was like resurrection by degree.
No.
Okay.
Only your finger.
Go to James. Boy, I'm not well here, guys.
James, right, James?
5.
Cool.
James 5.
It's just a few pages
beyond
the
Hebrews.
Yes. I mean, all that time you spent and all those, like...
I've forgotten all of them.
He was listening, he was just keeping tally of certain kinds of scriptures.
Yeah.
Like that. This one agrees with me, so.
What I did once is.
I'll hide that in my heart.
On a talk show is to. I made a list of the least studied scriptures in the Bible. And it was then we went through them all. Nobody, about half the people that called in couldn't believe they were in the Bible. 5:7 Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Now why does a grudge cause condemnation?
Cut you off.
Is that kind of a because you can't forgive,
right.
You can't be forgiven.
So
cut you off.
That means the garment is spotted by the flesh. Now, what happens? Let's look at this. At one time or another, everybody here has 60 jillion grudges against me, right? I mean, is there anybody that hasn't had them?
Is that all?
Yeah, right.
Is that all?
Not in the past 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, let me, I'm thinking specifically about Kay's and your comment about Kay. Kay has aught against me. And what's my response to that? What's my response when I yell and scream at somebody and they go off and pout? The scripture said, not many of you should be teachers because in many things you will offend everyone. Now, every time that I've offended one of you, am I supposed to go to you?
No.
Yeah, I think so.
Careful, Mike.
It's going to get rough.
Can I hit him for you?
Hopefully.
Boy, that shit's awfully big to fit all the way in that mouth.
Hopefully. He's kidding, right? Yeah, he's kidding.
I think it's jokey poo.
I mean, the The scriptures say that if you're his disciple, you'll be hated of all men. So what happens? What happens? How do we deal with that? Do you know what happened? Do you know what happened?
What happened?
You won't believe this. A guy that we're dealing with is in a church world guy, and we're helping him build a set for a Christmas pageant or some such thing. Anyway, but he can't let anybody in his choir or anybody know that we are doing it, or specifically I am, because several of the choir members work for Lexington Academy at Word of Faith. And
they last week received a memo telling them that they would be all experiencing a 10% pay cut as a direct result of the actions of Mr. Holy Hand.
What?
Yes.
No.
Oh, brother.
It overlooks. That's not costly.
Now, we also have people that blame illness. If anybody's sick, they blame it on me. Now, I want you to try to count in one hand the number of people that have aught against me.
On one hand?
Mine too. Yeah. You want to get down to the skin cells?
Yeah, have to be a hand from Three Mile Island.
But now, what's my response? What's my response to that? What's my response when I know that, I mean, I'm not, you may think I am, but I'm really not dumb.
Well, unless they come to you with it, you don't deal with it.
But you can't, once you enter into that realm.
But hear me, look. If you come to a first fruit offering and I say to you, does anybody have aught against you? And I make you go talk to them before you come back and present your gift to the altar.
That's in the body.
Well, you're going to have a hell of a first
fruit. Well, they don't have aught against me because I'm a teacher.
Okay, but I mean, you understand that they're... By implication, there's some transaction here. If they have aught against me for slighting them or for, some...
Isn't it personality?
Well, but I know, but it's, I'm not exempted from it. But I'm exempted from that which is the result of the cross. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
Well, we all are.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not exempted from
being a dickhead.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Huh?
I mean, we're all.
I know, but you never see that. My point is, you don't have to experience that. And that's part of what should be condemning you. Because you always make me take the heat rather than exhorting one another daily while it is still called today. You wait until I get back, or wait until, you know, that's why what we talked about Sunday, that the idea that things would be left in gray, that's the one hallmark every time I have to leave. When I get back, there's gray all over the place. It's just bathed in gray.
It's like I was telling Ed the other day, when we come in here, or whenever we're in there, standing in, something
weird, even the slightest, you'll say, something's weird in here. And
a lot of people won't even say that. I mean,
yeah.
They won't even, they can feel it, or they can hear it, but you don't
say it. Now that's quenching the Holy Spirit. And it causes, that's why it's time that each of you fulfill your office. And that what does that mean? Well, I'm going to be... The first thing it means is that you prophesy, you speak what's there. I promise you, if each one of you spoke what was there and endured until peace, there was peace, then there would be no gray anywhere. No. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. That provides the fear of God. Tell me about your grudges if you see that the judge or the judgment's seat is right behind that door. And you know if you have aught against someone, that when that door is open, you will be wasted. That's what it means to judge with righteous judgment. It's as though, you take it one step further, it's already finished. And if you have aught against someone and it's already finished,
I do business with a guy next door that he does my drafting, and I went in to ask him something yesterday, and he just absolutely got infuriated. He said, "I am so pissed off at you," and it's totally blindsiding, man. I'm like, "What?" He says, "I've been pissed off with you since March." I see the guy every day. I mean, it's like, whoa. And as a result, he lost like, oh god, 5 or 6 months worth of work, just because I thought he didn't want anything to do with me, or he was just, you know, just leaving me alone, so I don't want, you know, whatever. But he never spoke it. So it was just, talk about waste.
Yeah, the waste that happens is in the biggest place this waste happens is, and hopefully it's getting less and less here, but in normal marriages, the thing becomes a disaster. Because there is all of this ought against each other, grudging against each other that isn't dealt with. And so pretty soon it's impossible to deal with. You know, that's why the role of disciples is that your senses would be exercised to discern soul and spirit. Discern what good or evil. I mean, good spirit, evil soul. So that you become so sensitive, and it's only done when you use it. I mean, if you don't use it, it'll go away. If you continue to hide it and don't say anything, then your capacity to sense it the next time will be darkened. You know, that's what's, if there was one thing in the history of Harry, that it's this that has caused him from learning the fullness of what repentance means. Because it's taking you so many years you go through 15 other options before you come to the point of dealing with the issue. And so again, the exhortation is exhort one another daily, second by second. Now remember, we're talking about the fifth seal being opened. It doesn't say what happened. It just shows the result of it. And what the result of it was is that all these guys were slain and they're hidden under the altar. And they were believers.
Grudges?
Huh?
Wait, you lost.
No.
Oh, well, that second half stuff?
Yeah. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and patience, and of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Well, anyway, the idea that what happened to all the prophets? Right, all of them were killed except for Elijah. And Elijah was taken. Now, again, all of the apostles were killed for what they said. Now, do you understand? But it's not some... God isn't impotent. I mean, that was Satan is doing that. Or was the permissive will of God. You're making God into a wimp. God didn't have permissive will. God's got a gray will.
Whatever. He weighs the options.
He thinks about it. You know.
Well, that's why we were always talking about in church. The closer you get to God, the harder Satan's going to work on you. They twisted it just a little. I mean, it's right. It's the harder God's going to work on. But they make it
sound. Remember, the word Satan is not a translation.
No.
It's a transliteration, which means, like the word anti in the Greek, isn't a trans, doesn't mean, it's not a translation, it's a transliteration. They've just taken the same word and moved it into the language. Satan, what is, you know, again, when you see Satan, you have this, some external image, but the word is ha-satan, and it means the Satan. The satan, or Satan, is the opposer. And if you understand that the will of God is that you would be at peace with the opposer, then you've got to see that, you know, you don't have any enemies. Everybody may hate you, but you don't hate anybody. I do not.
You don't like people, but.
Well, I mean,
you cannot like people.
Well, hate. There's no one, I do not know anyone on the face of the earth that I hate. And that's not just language. There's no one on the face of the earth that I wouldn't welcome here into the community.
Does it mean that you don't get agitated by their actions?
And well, that just depends on how you respond.
See, yeah, lots of people hate and anger or you know, love and niceness, you know, they always...
Yeah, well, that's silly. But the test in for a believer is whether you would welcome them into the community, into this Bible study, into your home. Is there anybody in the face of the earth that you wouldn't take into your home, give them your bed? I mean, that's how it has to be seen. Everybody understand that? All right. One more. Go to Hebrews 12. Back to Hebrews 12. We're not getting very far tonight. Wherefore, we have just seen about all these guys that were sawn in half and stoned and slain with a sword and all that. And then it says, wherefore, seeing we also are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin with which I cannot talk tonight. I can't think is the problem. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now what is it tonight that's weighing you down? What is it on a second, but what is it any moment in time that causes you not to be in peace? For me, it's pain. I mean, I think it's obvious I'm in tremendous pain. But I don't have to worship it. I don't have to pay any attention to it. You understand me? There is no righteous weight. There is no righteous thing that's keeping you from being in total peace. The only thing that's keeping you from being in total peace is this. But how often, how many times in your life have you made a decision? The decision was to refuse peace, to refuse joy. Now, the greatest one that does this is Lee. I mean, she's done lately, but this is her forte.
It's nice to be known for something else.
Delvin's a close second.
We all have our specialties.
Delvin's a close second, so don't get too righteous. He may pass you. But you lay aside the feeling of joy and peace for a weight, for a thing. But it's a decision of your mind. And what it is it sounds right, it sounds good, it is pure sloth. Because it's the deliberate refusal of joy. And instead of joy of the resurrection, you make the resurrection of nothing and you take on a weight. But it's a matter of choice to do it. Does everybody understand me? So lay aside the weight that does so easily beset us. Well, I can't do that. Well, then you don't see the judge standing at the door. You don't see the fear of God. That's your only problem. And because you don't see the fear of God, because you don't know the judge is standing at the door, you then cannot minister to anyone. You cannot help anyone. Because all you will do, if you have the weight, you'll minister the weight to them, not the freedom, not the joy of the resurrection.
Really, and for me, it's really been a change in the definition of sloth. And sloth now means quite literally throwing away my inheritance.
Before it
meant, I'm not working on this enough. I'm not.
Yeah, sloth meant laziness or something.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't. It's the deliberate refusal of joy.
Well, see these things. Talked to you Tuesday night, these things that keep reminding me, it seems like that I am the chief of sinners, and I know that weight of it just keeps doing this, rather than agree with it, I guess. I just agree with the yes, but I can't be condemned.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. Talk to my father about that. All right. Let us lay aside the weight that does. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, you understand what he just said? The weight is the sin. Because the weight, no matter what it is self. It's a reflection of self. It's a defining of self. And so it's a form, it's a perverted form of self-seeking. Instead of what? Instead of the cross, the weight becomes, it's like the cross is over there and you're carrying around a huge rock. All right. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who, and it says for here, but it's the Greek word hooper, and it's better translated instead of, who instead of the joy that was set before him, and where was the joy set before him? By definition, the joy that was set before him was at the Mount of Transfiguration. That's when time and space, that's when law, that's when everything lost its hold on him. He was transfigured. But he could have gone that, and he could have, but instead of that joy that was set before him, he came back down. Because if he hadn't, we couldn't have partaken of that joy, of that transfiguration. What's your goal in life? Well, mine's to be transfigured. Any other goal is absolutely asinine. I want to be a good husband or a good mother, or a good father. Well, see you later. My goal is just to be happy. Goodbye, Pollyanna. The joy that's set before you, the glory that's set before you, the glory that's your inheritance is but one thing. And every time the word glory is used in Scripture, it's talking about it. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, he achieved that. And in that fulfilling, he emptied himself. Instead of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. How often you quit in your mind. That's what faint means, to quit. You quit when you leave the thing, the confrontation, the deal. That's why I said to you guys when you're talking in the hall, you know, stay until it's dealt with at peace.
You know, and even with the ideal, when Sherry was talking the other day about in her salvation, or, you know, where they're going to go and heaven and hell. I mean, if you're even worried about that, there's no joy there either.
Right.
Because you're worried.
Yeah, you have to know. You have to come to the place where you know that you don't have a snowball's chance of going to heaven, and that you continue in the same path.
Yeah.
That's what love is. You know, throw me in the pits of hell and I'll love you anyway. Or what Moses said, kill me, not them. But that's where we get to the next thing. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint or quit in your mind, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, striving against self. Now, what does that mean? You have not yet resisted unto martyrdom. Now, can we go back to Revelation 5? Revelation 6, I mean. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. What testimony did they hold? What does it mean to give your testimony? Do you know what the word testimony is?
Great word.
In the Greek.
Testable.
No.
Or that's where your testimony is at, because no one needs to.
Yeah, but that's swear. Not it. The word testimony in the Greek is the word martyr.
Oh, weird.
So it's what you have to say, even if you get killed in the process?
That's right.
Holy mackerel.
That's what she says later. They lived not their lives.
Understand that? To give your testimony is to give it unto death. Praise God, I used to be this thing and I was so bad and I did all that bad stuff. Well, that's a given. But now, praise God, I'm good. Now you're lying.
Well, but I mean, they were slain for the testimony. Does that mean everybody who's slain for something that they believe is going to be death, that doesn't necessarily mean...
No. There's all kinds of people that die for all kinds of causes.
I know.
That's just ludicrous.
I'm still on
our testimony.
But the word, technical word for testimony is martyrdom. To give your testimony, I can just imagine Mike giving his testimony in the Baptist church.
Actually, I...
Never did?
Because it was... Unreal.
Good.
What was the saying about you gave something you did not have? Is not a fool.
He is no fool who gives something which he never owned, or gives that which he never owned to gain that which he can never lose. But my point of this is that the reason that we're studying this in Hebrews is that you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now that can have two meanings. One, it can mean you have not yet resisted unto the seeing of the blood of Christ, or you have not yet resisted unto the seeing of your own blood. But it takes that kind of, that's the great clarifier. It's the great, It's the great BS detector internally. How far are you willing to take this? Now, the only thing I ever want you to follow in me is, and I believe it is what is my faith, and that is that I'm always willing to risk everything at every juncture. You know, I will confront you to the point of, I mean, it would kill me if you left, but I will confront you to the point that it will push you either to, that you may leave at every time I have a meeting with you. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
When's our next meeting?
Yeah.
Am I making a phone?
Well, life is to be lived at this other dimension. While we are on earth, it's to be lived under this altar. That at every moment we are risk being slain for the word of our testimony. That's the only thing that's meaningful. That's the only thing that has any more importance. And that's where I pray that you can quickly come to. So that, I mean, once you've gone through this, then what, I mean, nothing else can bother you. Right?
I remember the first time I read the Book of Acts when I was still going to Presbyterian Church, how incredibly exciting I thought it was. God, that's really, life's an adventure. I mean, that's blown out life. And
do you understand
that's
that?
That's wild. And you know, it's very rare for me to remember how exciting life of faith is. I'm much more of a coward than they were.
Well,
they just blew it out.
It's the exact reason that in 16 years, with one or two like half scripture exceptions, we've never studied the Book of Acts.
Really?
This generation is too much of a coward.
Oh shit.
So I pray that we soon will be ready to study the Book of Acts.
Who are you?
But I mean, I've not been released to study one thing in the Book of Acts, except I mean, like we may study a couple of the scriptures about Pentecost or
Peter's speech.
But I've wanted to study Acts since the day we became a Bible study, and I've always been checked every time we're going to study it. So, for that very reason.
That's wild.
It's the only book of the Bible that that I've never taught on. That's pretty amazing.
I'm sitting here just baffled at a comment you made a while ago. I mean, you know, everything I've heard, that's the most accurate description of where I'm at now. And I've heard, in my life, just accurately describe where I'm actually at was just out of the rest deliberately, out of joy just deliberately. And you said that I don't see the judge, but I do see the judge. I'm just playing this perverted game of Russian roulette. When I don't have a weapon, but the judge has a weapon.
And all chambers are full. There isn't any empty ones.
I'm playing a game of Russian roulette, and because you know I see myself, I'm like, fuck, I got this fuck you position, and I'm mad as hell with basically almost everybody in this room. I'm deliberately, you know, just holding a grudge, and. Yeah, this is a real fun game.
Sure is. I know exactly what it is. That's why I recognized it so quickly.
You do? Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Why did you just pick that subject?
Well, I tell you, miss, I'm an expert at playing that game. It's the greatest manipulation game there is. Because you can manipulate without risk.
I mean, you've lost me.
I know, but that's all right. It's the way I play poker. Anyway, it's not, you don't have to understand it, you just have to repent from it. Understand that you can't meet anyone's need truly when you're in that position. And so it's a matter of seeing that to fulfill a destiny, then to fulfill an office, it can't happen. It can't happen if there's a grudge. I want to read a couple of things. Will it be today? What can make you arise from your spiritual death? Shall love songs from the earth herself awaken my love, my fair one? Shall a cup of cold water stir the remembrance in your heart of the garden where we walked and talked together? Shall a smell of a flower turn your head to my love waiting to be received? What shall unlock the death of your selfishness? Shall a blaze of a comet's light prompt you to inquire of me? Shall a display of my universe spectacular taunt your curiosity to wonder who I am? Will the words love your neighbor as yourself challenge you to know me further? Shall love expressed in death impress you to repent? Will the falling leaves remind you of your fall from my presence? Will the icy hand of winter pull you toward my warmth and forgiveness? What shall it be? For I shall try all things to reach you. I will call to you in each crash of thunder, pound at your heart with tears of my rain. I will rage in the chamber of your darkness, standing as the only light within your cavern of death. Waiting, waiting, waiting for the breaking of your pride, that you may be set free and live. Prepare to hear the voice of my retribution in your land. Yet in my mercy I shall deal with some of you. But do not grab for your coins as the earth begins to tremble, for I am shaking all things, so that only that which is unshakable may remain. You will run for the mountains and weep and lament for your sin, but repent now, then I shall hear. For my ways and mercy go beyond your understanding. I can forgive when you would destroy. Do not judge me by your concepts of mercy and justice, for my ways are higher than yours. You cannot understand my mercy, you can only receive it. But I shall deal with you in torments and fear until you bend, until your pride is broken. Yet some of you will not bend because of your will, but you will remember that I condescended to reach you even in your polluted state. And my justice shall be established in eternity, irregard. Whether you will hear or whether you will forbear, my word shall go forth forever. My life shall continue. Enter into that life this day. What are the fading flowers saying? Do waning sunsets and changing seasons point to some pattern in the universe? I am trying to tell you that this life is not it. Who can live peacefully in the face of eventual death? Who can dare to build for tomorrow when there is no sure promise of tomorrow? How could you dare to truly love someone that will inevitably be taken away from you in death? What is there really to have and to hold? Your stay on earth is temporary. Every step you take is borrowed. Every breath you breathe could be your last. How long are you going to laugh it off and sleep it off? The stars are like the lights lighting the way into another world, the world that can only be entered by my love, my truth, my way, my life. Enter into that new world now. Anyway. We'll study. We didn't even get done with one verse tonight, but that's all right.
So, Ollie, did you
you would have those things?
What's the journal?
Long, long time ago. Within the first year that I was a believer, I wrote all those. Anybody have anything else? I don't feel like talking anymore.